David. Football. Football David. The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP.
What do we do?
Listening to the man.
Just gotta let it Damaschek. Run.
I could have interrupted it. I didn't want to be rude to
he comes in every week, Money, to say that. You know, that's all
know,
he gets to do on this show. We shouldn't interrupt him.
Like, we're sitting here.
What a prima donna you are.
Staring at each other like, so.
Let's listen.
How about that voiceover, huh?
Yeah, I have not the time nor the inclination to indulge this prima donna's complaints. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program. Presented, as always, by Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Week 3 is ready to roll after what I thought was a pretty rocky week 2 for pro football.
Say that.
Between some bad reviews of replays and some big-time injuries and so on and so forth. But listen, let's put that in the rearview mirror. Let's look ahead to brighter days with our pal seated way over there to my left. It is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. I don't know if he still properly calls himself Dolphins fan.
No.
Not he has dignity. But he is also all the way from London, England. It's Handsome Hank. Cut it off.
We don't need that
music there.
Dave, thank you very much. This is the first time I've ever been invited into your house. It's so nice to be here.
It's a weird house, isn't it?
It is strange, but I mean, nothing like I imagined it, but it's fantastic. Thank you very much for the invite at last.
Yeah, we just redid it a little bit. We got, you know, I felt like, you know what we need is
more monitors.
We need some more
monitors, but let's have the TV behind us.
Right.
We don't normally do that.
I'm a fan of nature, ergo I made some AstroTurf
pillows
and everything. So yeah, thank you.
Really on brand.
I appreciate the feedback. And then also the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers.
Good.
Also one half of the finest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money, track it down on iHeartRadio. It's Matt Money Smith. We're not listening to that song.
No,
let's not.
But Dick Bank's
get
great.
Berated
way to
once.
Go.
I'm not going to be berated by you. Oh, but the song was about you. That we should let play.
Well, I just want to make sure. I feel bad because he puts all this work into it, and we keep cutting him off. So I figure every now and then, maybe
let's mention his name.
One of the masterpieces run.
All right, let's get into it here. Week three, the Red Challenge flag picks are upcoming here. We'll tell you the biggest games. We'll make our picks. If we disagree with one another, the Red Challenge flag will fly. And there's a lot of news, obviously. It goes without saying, if you're watching us right now, I assume you're a football fan and are aware that Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season with an elbow. Drew Brees is out for about a month and a half with a thumb. Eli Manning is on the bench in favor of his doppelganger, Daniel Jones. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let's dig in on all of it.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that is a lot.
Where do we start?
Well, I brought a friend in honor of this auspicious occasion, getting the three of us together for the first time in season now for 2019. So many storylines. I thought it would be appropriate to break out the literal 10-foot pole. You want to get into it?
Big
sure.
It's a big pole for a tiny room.
Well, it is.
And I don't want to break any of the windows in your house.
As you know, a lot of people shoot their mouths off about what they will and won't touch with a figurative 10-foot pole, let alone a literal one. That brings us to this week's edition of Zaxby's Fresh Takes. Yes, the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads, providing you the freshest of takes, the football style. And here's what we'll do. I'm going to start
it's a mirror,
out.
Is it Hank?
Well, let's start it out with the Englishman over there.
Thank you very much.
And the
go,
first
sir.
Issue
Thank
is,
you.
Let's start
what
out
about
with
a pointed stick?
Let's do...
There it is.
Don't want to break
the
stuff.
Don't break the TV.
Don't break the TV, otherwise I'm going to have to buy Dave another
room.
One.
By the way, and you can watch on this weekend's Good Morning Football, I do an essay about the fact that, yes, it is a once-in-a-generation thing to see Eli and Roethlisberger and Rivers all land in the same class. Before that, it was 20 years prior to then that you had the 83 class. But now, all of a sudden, since 2016, it seems every year is loaded with quarterbacks, and with Tua and Herbert and Fromm and
Trevor Lawrence
all
coming
on the way. Don't worry about it. There are quarterbacks on the way. If you don't have one right now.
Is that you trying to cover up your jinx? Where you were like, we are at pure quarterback saturation right now in the NFL. And look what's
happened bump
in the week since then.
A minor bump in
what
the
What do we
road.
Got?
Dak Prescott, one of those guys who is really performing well. And as I told you in advance of the season, Kellen Moore making an offense that that can thrive in the 21st century will make all the difference for this guy. 2-0 so far. Handsome Hank. First question, or first statement,
yes.
Will you touch this with a 10-foot pole? Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC.
Ooh. Dave, here's the deal. I don't even need your 10-foot pole for this one. I picked the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl before they went 2-0.
I feel like I'm gonna touch it
with my hand.
All right. Wow, good for you, owning it. You know what, handsome? I followed your lead. I have the Cowboys also going to the Super Bowl so far.
So you're going to touch him too?
Do you? Yeah. Listen, touched. Consider him touched. And money, do you have any pushback, any cynicism you'd like to express about the
Probably.
Cowboys?
Probably.
The Eagles are in the division.
You know, exactly. I'd like to see them maybe take a step up in competition. You know, I think it's very similar to what we're going to say about the Ravens and some of the teams that we don't feel great about. Nothing against the Redskins, nothing against the Giants. But, you know, I think a lot of people figured it was the Eagles that would win this division going into the season. So let's see that first battle. Let's see maybe a better defense if that can do it. You know,
he's got the Miami Dolphins this weekend, so
again,
not happening
we'll
this
have
weekend.
The same conversation down the road. I mean, look, they're a great team. I mean, it's line play. We've said it repeatedly here, and they have the best offensive line in football, and the defensive line has certainly shown that they're formidable. So I don't think it's a crazy take, that's for sure, but just not quite. Put it this way, like, would you feel good taking the Cowboys over the Rams, thinking about Aaron Donald and Dante Fowler and what that defensive line looks like that might be able to give that offensive line all
I hear you absolutely on the Rams, but it's funny that you would bring them up because in advance of the season's kickoff, we ranked out our teams, Handsome, Eddie Spaghetti, and I, all listed the teams that are definitely not going to the playoffs this year. I said the Rams. My bold one was that the Rams aren't going to go. Spaghetti went bold with the Packers. Right now, if you had to choose one, is not going to the postseason? For me, it's the Rams. I still don't buy. I know I'm in the minority at this point. I still don't buy Jared Goff.
He hadn't looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for sure. Yep. He has not looked great. Gurley does not. I mean, the first game he looked a lot better than he did this last week. You think about what might have been had the referees not blown that whistle, you know, and the Saints go up 10-3. And maybe have a different game plan moving forward. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, look, there's flaws there. But then again, you kind of look at the Packers and think about those bad interceptions that Kirk Cousins threw. Are we still having that conversation? Do we really feel as good about them if the Vikings get out of Lambeau with a win coming off a pretty poor, not pretty poor, an awful offensive performance against a very good Bears defense in week 1?
Well, it's interesting, and that brings us back to the Dallas Cowboys, who right now appear to be the cleanest of all those NFC contenders. But again, we're only a fortnight into this thing. People keep getting seduced by what they see in the first couple of games. Football season is long, everybody. Your team ain't out of it, although they can put themselves out of it if they go to 0-3. Talking to you, Pittsburgh Steelers. Handsome Hank, speaking of the Steelers, their longtime future Hall of Fame QB, Ben Roethlisberger, is out for
at
least
2019. Yeah.
Phil Rivers still doing his thing.
Are you okay about that? Are you going to be all right? Because I heard you speaking with our friend David Carr earlier in the week, and you seemed a little upset.
Well, now I was I'm disappointed.
I was.
I think in the 21st century, as I alluded to earlier, one of the guys from that 2018 QB class was Mason Rudolph, and I remember our conversation a year ago, 2 years ago, Money.
Yes,
you
was
said,
not
I
sold.
Don't buy. I think Mason's probably a tick down at Oklahoma State versus Oklahoma's Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold at USC and so on. But for what it's worth, the Steelers coaching staff and scouting group does really believe in Mason Rudolph. This is not the equivalent of what a backup was in 1991. He's expected to go in there and win. And if he can work that
this
play action.
This isn't Landry Jones. It's not Josh Dobbs. It's not, you know,
they showed it by trading Josh Dobbs. Right. They showed that they had faith in him even before they needed him.
We'll figure out what the 2019 Steelers will be with their new addition, Minka Fitzpatrick, late of the Miami Dolphins.
You're welcome.
Big one.
I like that addition.
Dude,
as
fantastic.
A side note. Yeah. Well, a lot of people are bellyaching about that. Because
in Pittsburgh?
Should the Steelers find themselves at 3-13 and in a position to draft the replacement to Ben Roethlisberger.
Josh Herbert would be an awful nice replacement.
He would be. But
Big
if you
30.
Here's the circular illogic of all that. If you don't think Kevin Colbert drafted the right guy in Mason Rudolph a couple of years ago to replace Roethlisberger ultimately, why then are you trusting Kevin Colbert to make the right draft pick in 2020?
The same question being asked by Dolphins fans
right now
as they rebuild.
My pushback would be because, you know, how often do teams hit on third and fourth round quarterbacks? I mean, that's, hey, we're going to take a shot here, but if you have a top five pick, you know, Ben was their franchise quarterback. We've got a first round pick. We're investing in a quarterback, and look what it produced. So, you know, I think it's different when you miss on a first rounder versus taking a shot on a third or a
the
fifth.
The claim is, for what it's worth, that Kevin Colbert and the Steelers scouting department issued is we have him graded right up there with Darnold, Mayfield, and the rest of that 2018 QB class. But let's take a look back, and I guess I'll look 5 years or so into the future, Handsome Hank. I'm not talking about Roethlisberger. With those two rings, I think it's guaranteed that he is not just a Hall of Famer, but probably even a first ballot guy. But Phil Rivers and Eli Manning, a lot of debate as Eli now takes the pine in favor of Daniel Jones. The 2004 class, give this one to Money, as a matter of fact. Let's let him do it, because Rivers is
right.
His QB.
Careful with that, Money.
Yeah.
Because you're not 10 foot away from it. Dave.
Can I
mean, if you happen to bonk Handsome Hank in the face, I wouldn't be upset.
I just don't want to break the monitor. I don't want to break one of your
I don't want to get blood on your lovely carpet in your home.
Before
he doesn't
ask.
Want to break the monitor. Your face is, yes, is not a concern for him.
I got a little nugget for you.
Ooh.
Because I call games for the team that has Phillip Rivers as the quarterback, so I get a lot of these Rivers-centric nuggets. Did you know, coming into this season, the 2004 draft class, the quarterbacks came in with 442 wins. The 83 class is number one overall with 499.
Ooh.
And with Rivers and Roethlisberger and Eli, you're like, Eli might be good for four or five this year if they're really going to. And Rivers might get you double digits and Roethlisberger gets you double digits. You know what? This class might really have a shot at it. And yet here we are 2 weeks in the season. And it's like, wait a minute. We're 56 wins away. They got to get 56 more wins to pass 83.
Well, that is a fun debate to have for people who love their football history, which is the better class. I think you can almost make a case for the Ott-4 trio, if only because they've doubled them up in Super Bowls, and John Elway's two Super Bowls, the only two that that class got, are owed really more to Terrell Davis than they are to John Elway. Anyhow, to the here and now, Matt Money Smith.
Yes.
All three. Not, I'm excluding the fourth guy, but Eli, Phil Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger, all three will get a bust and a gold jacket in Canton. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
I want to. I really want to.
You can. No one's stopping you, friend.
I can help you if you're having a problem with it.
I really want to, but I can't.
You can't do it.
I can't.
I can't do it either.
You know,
one of you.
I think there's a difference. I think if the question was, should they? I think the answer is yes. I think they're all three Hall of Fame. Different. Roethlisberger's a no-brainer. I mean, he's got the stats and he's got the Super Bowl, so that's done. Phillip has the stats, but he doesn't have the Super Bowls. Eli has the Super Bowls, but he doesn't have the stats. And I think what people are forgetting is it's not just about 2004. It's about Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. I mean, we are going to have so many quarterbacks that are eligible for the Hall of Fame at the exact same time that I think one of them is going to miss out.
I hear you.
You think one will miss out?
I think two. I think one. And I think it might come down to whether or not Phillip can just get to a Super Bowl. I think if he can win an AFC championship and get to a Super Bowl, his numbers are ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, it's not even close. I mean, he just passed Dan Marino for 300-yard games. So, like, when you start to stack up all of his numbers, they're all Marino, Elway, Manning, Rivers, Favre, Rivers. I mean, that's where he is in every major category, but there's no postseason success.
But so if right now you're saying you would rank them Ben 1, Eli 2,
right
Phil
now,
3.
I would, yeah.
If Phil got to a Super Bowl, you think he would
put him ahead of
jump
Eli.
Ahead of Eli and therefore knock Eli out of being
be
a Hall of Famer?
A very good chance that he could.
That's
interesting. Well, I'm required to make the same point I make every time when Eli's Hall of Fame candidacy is brought up. Bob Greasy is in the Hall of Fame. As long as he is the minimum standard, there should be no question about whether or not Eli belongs there. The guy Bob Greasy threw the ball four times in a Super Bowl. This is... if you want to talk about a passenger on the way to glory, Bob Greasy was it. And secondly, the thing that's fascinating to me from a numbers point of view is you mentioned how close they are. They rank, I mean, these guys were drafted within, I don't know, 45 minutes of one another 16 years ago. There's been a century of pro football. They now rank 6, 7, and 8 in both touchdown passes and passing yards. That is a crazy fluke of a number, I think.
It is. And I think in the
case... And they're all Hall of Famers.
In the case of Eli, there's just... I don't know if I want to call it recency bias, but these last 5 years have been terrible.
They've been bad.
I mean, they haven't just been average. They've been terrible. I think it's three times now he's led the league in interceptions. And I guess that's what you have to figure out, right? What are your credentials? And I don't know. I don't know who the heck a Hall of Famer is and who isn't. Like I said, if the answer should, yes, I think they all three should. But as they try to start to hash this out, I just think there's going to be so many names there that they're specifically Breeze, Rodgers, Brady,
yep,
Peyton Manning. Those four guys are going to be put in the conversation with these three.
It's funny because as far as that goes, it's what year Eli's name will come up. And Eli might do himself some favors by being the lone QB eligible.
Get out now.
Right.
If he really is calculating on that level, you might be right about that. But listen, he vanquished Tom Brady twice in the biggest game. That does matter. I don't care. And by the way, I'm a recent convert on Julian Edelman being in the Hall of Fame. He did it in the biggest moments. He did it three times with Tom Brady. I think he also belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Let's throw Timmy Smith in as well, Dave.
Yeah, that's tough.
Where's
Deion Branch?
Here's what matters
there.
Most
Kevin
to the
Falk.
Voters.
Yeah.
Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
It's durability.
So, yeah.
I think Frank Gore is.
Longevity matters a little bit too much in most cases. Art Monk isn't properly a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, except that he just hung on so long. And the voters do seem to overvalue longevity over other traits. And I think those numbers are going to be hard to deny when any of those three names come up. Let's move on to one of the young guns out there. Josh Allen, he's got his team at 2-0. Handsome Hank.
10-foot pole still.
This is a nice broad one. This is a nice broad one for you. The Buffalo Bills of 2019 are for real. Actually, I'll put a finer point on it. They're headed to the playoffs. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
No, I won't.
No. But they're 2-0.
I think they're doing great. I think it's a nice story.
But about a 2-0 team.
Well, you just told me not to earlier on. You told me not to believe the first 2 weeks. Make your mind up, Dave. I just think it's a nice story now.
You took but my when bait it, and you
I,
passed
and
the
then
test.
I passed it straight back to you.
Is that what it was?
That was a test.
Yes, it was, clearly.
Okay. No, I'm not going to touch it. I think they're a nice story. I think they're obviously headed in the right direction. I think a year, 2 years from now, they might be that team, but I don't think they're going to be in 2019. But congratulations to them for everything they've achieved so far.
We're a fortnight in. You can speculate a little bit. Who are going to get those wild cards?
That's
we know
question.
The Patriots are going to get it, and you know the Chiefs are... I'm not sold that the Chiefs are definitely going to win the West. I think you're giving me a look. You think the Chargers are not players?
I think the Chargers are a wild card team.
I think the
Chiefs are going to win that division. If you want one of those wild card teams, I'd say the Chargers. I point at money because he plays for them.
You're going to go with the Browns then as your other wild card, right?
Steelers, Browns, Ravens, Chargers. Are the Raiders for real? They played pretty well they didn't.
I think I had the Steelers before the season. That's done now.
In the South, can you see the Colts? Can you see two 9-7 teams from the South? Could you see the Colts and maybe the Texans both finishing? Because 9-7 is going to get one of them.
And I also
when you look at the way the AFC is laid out, 9-7 is going to get one of those wild cards.
You always look back at a couple of teams and you say, man, that early season loss really ruined things for them. They could have made the Denver Broncos. I stand by my preseason pick that the Broncos had a shot. They had the Bears defeated.
You like
there.
The way Joe Flacco looks playing quarterback?
I have no good response to that one. Before we get to the red shout, so that's a wrap on.
I don't need the poll anymore.
Poll anymore?
You can put the.
Shall I go put it in the kitchen?
Well, I think the kids are in there, making some muffins and stuff. So let them have.
I'll just put it.
Thus ends this week's edition of Fresh Takes presented by pals over at Zaxby's.
And
before we get to the Red Challenge flag picks for NFL Week 3, some juicy games. We've alluded to that Ravens and Chiefs one. You'll remember longtime listeners here at the DDFP, our producer Kent Brown,
who's
moved on. And nevertheless, he still receives voice messages from his mom, who is based in Pittsburgh. And in my opinion, as a connoisseur of the Pittsburgh accent, has perhaps the finest example that these 2 years have ever heard. I think you guys like hearing those voicemails too, right?
I can't get enough.
All right, well, she had the breaking news a few days back on Ben Roethlisberger. She was kind enough to contact her son, leave a voicemail, who happens to work in pro football and presumably maybe had
may have
that
heard
information
it.
Anyway. But she was nice enough, just in case, to leave Kent Brown and now us this voicemail.
Yeah, I didn't want to bother you. Maybe you're already at work. Hey, Roethlisberger's out for the season, but he hurt his, what did he hurt? His shoulder or his, oh, he hurt his elbow. Okay, bye-bye.
His elbow.
He hurt his elbow. Bye-bye.
Roethlisberger's shoulder, no, his elbow.
That's good.
That was just an appetizer.
Right.
Then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then some existential stuff starts to go down over there. Take a listen to Kent Brown's mom's. This isn't about movies and TVs. That's usually what she weighs
that's
in
on. That's her expertise. That's her area.
No, no, no. This is just one from the gut. Take a listen.
Yeah, I was disappointed Wade didn't come over to cut my grass. He was supposed to come over. We were going to have corn on a cob and hamburgers. But he said he told Robbie he was going to get Red Lobster. Because they're having that shrimp fest. He said he forgot. And then Robbie called him and he said he'll be over here on Thursday then. Ooh, there's a giant spider on the floor. Ooh. Okay, give me a call. Bye-bye.
The range of human emotion, right?
That's shrimp fest. So... Let's rally the troops, get to the Red Lobster. Did she call it the Red Lobster?
Corn
I feel like she
on
did.
The cob.
I hope she called it the Red Lobster.
The Red Lobster.
And then, hey, spider on the floor. You know, just stream of consciousness.
Oh, it's spider on the floor. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did you hear the...
Yep.
Not a spider on
no
the floor.
No spider on the floor any longer, yeah.
A lot more flies in the Brown household, you know. Spider not eating them, so there you go.
Well, I mean, I'm a connoisseur of the Pittsburgh accent. As a connoisseur of Kent Brown's mom's voicemails, I think that's top
that
three.
That's got a shot. Well, the Publisher's Clearinghouse is number one for me. Mm-hmm. When the Publisher's Clearinghouse came to town.
I don't know. My favorite ever is Guess Who Died.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Guess Who Died is one.
Guess
Who Died. Pause.
Pause. Oh, my. Who is it?
Whitey Bulger.
That's the best. You're absolutely right. I stand corrected.
Thank you, Kent Brown.
Darn right.
More importantly, thank you, Kent Brown's mom. Keep them coming. Now it's the world is our oysters. I thought it was only movies and TV, but now that she can just weigh in.
I don't know, man. Shrimp Fest at Red Lobster for 20 seconds. Think about how short her voicemails usually are, right? Yeah. It's like... Oh, hey, Ken, it's Mom. I wanted to call you and tell you I love... Oh, the news is on. I got to go. You know? And take you 20 seconds on Shrimp Fest. It's some dude named Robbie. That's pretty good.
I was disappointed. I thought Robbie was going to come over.
Instead, it's Shrimp Fest.
We're going to do corn on the cob. Hey, before we get to the Red Challenge flag picks, I'm curious, like I say, I was being... ironic, maybe, Handsome, when I said you're supposed to swoon for the 2-0 teams. I say, football season is long.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't throw dirt on an 0-2 team just yet, and conversely, don't get over your skis about somebody that's... I also kind of balk at the idea of calling a team undefeated at 2-0.
At 2-0.
Seems premature. Yeah. Call them something else.
The Bills are undefeated.
Yeah, it seems a little severe. But anywho, what 0-2 team is in the most trouble, Handsome? I'll start with you. Who's really... Whose goose is cooked at this point? Besides the Dolphins,
right? I mean, yeah, they're not. They want their. They in fact want to eat their own goose.
Can you put to use your phrase, maybe put a finer point on it? Like we know
that we fancy.
Yes, that we fancy.
Okay,
maybe.
Not the Cardinals either.
Yeah. Right, not the Giants.
Not the Giants.
The Bengals.
Right.
I mean, I think going back to that division, the Jets were a team that I think you and others had said, maybe this is a team that could be a wild card team that could have a shot at the Patriots. And it's very clear that, putting Sam Darnold's illness aside, that they weren't anywhere close to being ready
You felt that way watching the Monday night game, that it had Sam Darnold been out there, the result would have been the same?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
You think this is a crummy team?
Without Sam Darnold?
Well, no.
If Sam Darnold were out there, I mean, look, it was a weird loss, right? In week one, they're dominating, they're up 16-0, they create four turnovers, and then somehow it slips away. And I think that, you know, that could have been that moment, that tipping point for Josh Allen to take that next step versus Sam Darnold taking the next step. We'll never know because of the mono situation. I think he's going to be out a little while there. So it's hard to tell, you know, because the Monday nighter was so strange, I think, because of all the circumstances surrounding the Jets. But now you've got Jamal Adams on following teams and taking names out of his bio. And, I mean, it got ugly in a hurry there.
It is snowballing fast, and it does feel. But C.J. Mosley and Darnold both being down just felt to me like the football gods have chosen not to smile on the 2019 Jets.
Which is why I would suggest that they're in trouble.
Yeah. You know what else? Who else is in trouble?
The Jags.
Eddie Spaghetti, because the Jags are doomed.
That's the other one.
The Jags are, but Spaghetti, I mean, are you happy to be a Giants fan right now? Do you think, at least, in the head-to-head of the two New York football teams, do you feel better being a Giants fan right now than had you chosen the Jets in your youth?
I would say because we've seen Darnold play and the Jets have still been pretty lackluster, you're almost in a better position to be, you know, a fan of the Giants and to see what Daniel Jones may have. Now, Daniel Jones very well could be absolutely awful. The Giants may have the number one overall pick and they'll move on, kind of like what, you know, the Cardinals did with Rosen, because we've seen that now. So I would say, for the time being, the Giants.
David, it doesn't look like Eddie can find the light in your bathroom. Do you want to show him where the switch is?
All of our budget was spent on monitors.
I took the ball bound, just for our fun. I thought it would make it more fun to...
I thought he was in the disco party room with the black light. He was just going clubbing.
Look at, let's see. Talk about, in the span of about 20 minutes, Spaghetti...
He's a handsome man in the background.
Yeah.
As you see, that's how close I was to Spaghetti on draft night. And when the name Daniel Jones was announced, there were some words that came out of Spaghetti's mouth.
Can we get the image back on the screen? Is that possible? While Eddie continues to party, doesn't Eddie look like the guy that met his parents for dinner and they're like, "Hey, you got to wear a coat at this restaurant." Give him the general use coat to put over his sweaty shirt.
That is so accurate. Money, that is very accurate. I don't think I've worn that, and I couldn't tell you how long. They're like, "Oh, you need to wear a suit jacket for this event of the draft." And I was like, "Ah, crap." And it was like 95 degrees with terrible humidity there. I was sweating all day. It was a mess.
It was a great thrill, though, for me personally, after Spaghetti just was disgusted about the announcement of Daniel Jones. The 20 minutes later, Daniel Jones was coming by.
Hey!
And they said, "Do you guys want Daniel Jones?" And I said,
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, absolutely. Please bring him in here so that if for only for the photo, we have to get this photo to hear how Spaghetti handles it. And may I say, you handled it with aplomb.
Thank you.
Coming out of that photo, what did he say? "You know what? I had my doubts before, but after seeing the size of his hands and how broad his shoulders are, and he was a very nice guy, I feel great about the Giants'
future." Great about
the
pick.
His greatest virtue, he looks a lot like Eli.
Not dissimilar to Eddie as well, actually.
Kind of.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, you know, Spaghetti touches on the trades that we've seen. Guys now, and by the way, I'm all for on a human level, that the proletariat is having a stronger hand in where they find themselves in the football.
Well, to some extent.
I mean, more than we've ever seen, that's for sure. I mean, guys are actually demanding trades and getting traded. Guys are sitting out entire seasons and still finding themselves, even though it might not be as much, $40 million.
I am a little bit, but from a fan perspective.
On a human level. I didn't say from a fan perspective.
All right, I was taking a fan perspective. Sorry, Dave. But you take your human, you be a human, I'll be a fan.
What about Saquon Barkley? I think that that's been a recurring theme, obviously, for the last year plus for us here, is that Saquon is dynamite, and you can make a pretty powerful case he's the best running back in the NFL right now, but he's a luxury that a team that's not going to the playoffs this year should really indulge, right?
It's a different situation, because a team that doesn't have a quarterback at all, then that might be an argument to make. The Giants, I mean, I think we in fact had the conversation about whether they should have drafted Saquon last year without the quarterback. Now they've got the quarterback. Taking him away as
makes
a weapon
no sense, yeah.
makes no sense. You were talking about Jared Goff earlier on. Jared Goff thrived because of the play action in Sean McVay's offense. With Gurley now diminished, that goes away. I hear what you're saying, but I think now would be the wrong time to do it. That's what Daniel Jones needs.
Sure, yeah, fair point.
To be able to.
I just feel bad for the guy that he's basically going to be Walter Payton 2.0, putting up humongous numbers in the first half decade of his career. And what's it going to amount to? I know you can turn things around more quickly in today's NFL, but we're assuming a great deal with that defense being that far away. I think they would do themselves a favor, perhaps. I mean, you could get a bounty based on what you see.
But what do you do with
Tunsil? Well, I mean, then that's the debate about Handsome's team. Is what are the Dolphins doing? It seems like they've crossed over some line here. It's like, you know, that talent will still help. You're still going to wind up with the worst, but with the number one pick here. Why are you giving away assets right. that you're going to need in 2020?
Well, you're
going
to have to. I say it a lot, but whether it comes to replacing a coach or a quarterback, like, tell me how you're going to improve on what you've got. We had the conversation for years about Andy Dalton or whatever. Like, okay, well, what's the plan? How do you get better than that? So when the Dolphins, or in this case, the Giants, would be trading that away, you've got to go and use those draft picks wisely, or use the cap space you have wisely to be able to at least replace and presumably to improve on what you had before. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to have traded it away. In the case of Miami, my concern is they are charging the same people that got them in the hole that they're digging their way
Precisely,
out of
right.
with, okay, great, here's all this cap space, here are all these picks. We're going to let the same people that didn't draft well for the last however many years and then just offloaded all the assets that they did draft sensibly.
The ones that they did hit on
right.
are now being given away and being at... Do it again now.
Do it again.
Yeah. Why? Why didn't they just stand
And let's not forget
those...
that Tunsil landed in their laps as well.
Now,
that was an accident.
This is now anyway. The flip side of your position on the Giants. You know, the Dolphins don't have their quarterback. So, you know, I do not agree, even though they got 2-1s with the Tunsil trade. It is clear that that is the toughest position to fill in the NFL now, offensive tackle.
There's just not very many of them around.
And it's tough to draft one. It's right. You're never going to sign one. You see the money that average ones to below average ones are getting. So that was a mistake. But I kind of get the, we've got to get a quarterback. That's what has to happen. So let's
no
amass
doubt.
As many cracks at that as we can get. And now they have 5 picks in the next 2 drafts. That are going to be populated with awesome quarterbacks in Tua and Herbert and Fromm and Love and Lawrence the following year. And maybe they'll be great, maybe they won't, but at least when it comes to that position...
Hey, you bought more tickets
they've
to
got,
the lottery.
Yes, exactly. They've got something going
I think
there. And that, to me, is the most important thing for that team.
Yeah, when they started the process, though, I think they were like, let's amass picks so that we can trade up for it. Then they don't need to trade
right.
up.
Well,
they're going to have the number
my
one
point.
Pick.
Right. At this point, now it's gone too far.
The other point about, you know, they're definitely locked in on Tua specifically. As a left-handed quarterback, Tunsil becomes a little bit less valuable as a left tackle. So I guess from that sense, when they got offered the bounty that they did get for him and for Kenny Stills by the Texans, maybe it did make sense because they're going to end up with a guy whose blind side is going to be the other pointed right. the other direction.
I love that point, Handsome. You know,
thanks,
in
Dave.
The heaps and heaps of takes that are provided for us on social media and podcasts and TV and otherwise, that's a thought that I have not
By
heard
the way.
Anywhere else. I love that.
Thank you very much, Dave.
To,
I really appreciate
and
that.
Laramie
Can
Tunsil?
I go now? I
but
feel
wait,
like
no, no, I'd like there, you to stay.
There okay. is perhaps a little plot twist. You know, and you think about the ownership in Miami and him being embattled with the Trump support and the players pushing back on that and Kenny Stills being shipped out of town. Tua can go back to school.
For
he's
sure.
Not, he's not done. He still has another year left at Alabama if he decides, I want part of that. That's right. he can pull an, you know,
he could pull an Eli.
He can pull an Eli
and
just
say,
refuse
and say,
to go there.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
I'm not going to go there.
And he has a family... As invest, I mean, I think they moved from Hawaii to Alabama. They're just as invested in his future as Eli's family
right.
was, and they could very easily
so
say
this
is
not. That's a possibility.
This
that
not
they may
for
need
us.
A right-handed guy in Justin yep. Herbert because yep. the left
then,
will not come.
As I'm inclined to do, this brings us back to where we started with the Steelers quarterback situation, and I think that this idea that well, what the yield is going to be. Bear with us, Dolphins fan, for this season because next year you're going to see. This all this young talent rolling in here, that's not a certainty that it's going to go that way. I think NFL GMs tend to be, but you see people loosening up, perhaps because players are now inserting themselves into the conversation, saying, I want out of here, and now it becomes untenable and you move that guy on. I think that this notion that just bear with us, we're going to go through a stinker of a season, is bad. This is an entertainment industry yeah. after all. And as I said to a lot of people, who were calling for, well, good, this is good that Roethlisberger's done now because they're going to stink and they're going to get a top pick. Yeah, what about 2019? the future is uncertain. Right? How about right now, a talented team? I don't think that they're going to just raise the white flag and sit out the rest of the season. That's not the Steeler way.
Well, and they traded their first round pick.
And then they did. And, their defense is loaded. I mean, there's not many excuses for that defense not to be the best in the league.
Who no longer has any excuses is Mike Tomlin. People would want to put the blame on Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator, who is in fact nominally in charge of that defense. But it's Mike Tomlin, and specifically his area of expertise is alleged to be the secondary. And yet this is a team that year after year after year, you keep hearing coming out of devastating losses like, bad communication on the back end. How about fix the communication on the back end already? It's only been 5 years at this point. So, okay, since Dick LeBeau went on. All right, that's that rant. But I philosophically say, don't play for next year. I don't like the process. I would not want to be a fan of a process.
It's not a sport you can do that. Not with the level of physicality. You cannot ask individuals to go out there when the organizational intent is to lose as many games as possible to draft someone that's not even on the team. It's just, you can make a case that it makes sense in basketball and that it's worked out for teams like the Sixers, but in football, it's not a sport you can do that. You can't send those individuals out there to play this game, this level of physicality, contact, violence, right, and expect to be well. You know, that's how you get a player revolt and guys that just refuse to come out of the locker room. I'm not going to do it.
I won't denigrate tanking the last portion of a season, but for the record, the Sixers thing has officially been a failure. I don't care. Unless they rip off three or four in a row here. It's a
I don't agree with that.
This wait has been way too long.
But I wouldn't agree with that at all because they never were able to get free agents. So their point is, the only way we're going to get elite talent here is if we draft it, develop it, and convince it to stay. And that worked with Joel Embiid. And that, I mean, look at Jimmy Butler. He could have had a fifth year, a guy that's been beat to heck by Tom Thibodeau in Chicago and had a falling out in Minnesota, and they offered him a five-year max deal. And he's like, nope, I'm going to leave Philadelphia, go to Miami. I think, you know, that was kind of the idea, is if you draft these guys like Ben Simmons, like Joel Embiid, they'll stay. They'll be connected to the community, and we can convince them to stay in Philadelphia. So I think that's the one, at least that was kind of my understanding of it. It wasn't just, let's not take as many bites at the apple for rookies as we can, but also, it's too hard for us to get these guys like Kevin Durant and Jimmy Butler to sign in Philadelphia to play for the Sixers, so we're going to have to find it through the draft.
All right, perhaps you're right on that. I'll back down. I'll defer to you, the NBA expert. See, we 10-foot poles, biting apples,
sure.
NBA, shrimp fest. It's not just
it doesn't stop.
Robbie should have come over.
But now it is football.
Robbie.
I'm bummed about Ronnie's too. All right, let's get to it. The week three Red Challenge flag picks.
Red Challenge flag picks.
Do it again. That was poor timing. I don't want to call
make
it.
Yeah, make us
I was
do it
following
again.
Your lead. I was a
guard.
Why
were you
because my hand was touching your hand. You were the center. I was a guard. I was following your
Wait,
lead.
Dave,
it
you were about to say what you were going to say. Why was I so what? You're not the lead. Your name's on the door.
I was on
the door.
Time, friend.
This is your house.
I'm
center.
Like James Brown. I'm calling out the baseline. You guys blew it, not this guy.
That's not true.
Of course. Never Dave.
You want me to turn my head and look at you for the snap and Aaron Donald's going to blow right over me? No, I got to have you in my periphery. I'm touching your hand, and when you snap the ball, I'm ready to go. That's what I need.
Touch his hand. Let's all touch hands this time.
Here we go. Let's go. Ready?
I was just so excited for Ronnie.
It feels so good.
All right, here we go. The Red Challenge flag pitch for week three.
Red Challenge flag.
All right, again now. We're going to get it.
No, listen. There's a saboteur in our ranks, and it was someone that wanted us holding hands on the screen for
longer.
4 seconds.
For
I
longer.
Don't appreciate it.
All right, one more time.
There we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go. Ready?
Red Challenge flag picks.
That was worth
that's it.
It.
There we
that
go.
Was worth yeah, it.
We,
thank that's, you, for
thank
bearing
you very
we
much.
We backed up 10 yards, 2 false starts. Thank you.
Your reward for hanging with us, a barn burner in the NFC. Ooh. Actually, I was saying that in a glib manner, but actually the Lions are 1-0-1. They're not they just beat your team, money.
Yeah, I mean, come on. They average like 3 yards per carry. Chargers put up 450 yards on them.
Sounds like
now they did force a
I don't think
at
we're going
to
need any challenge. I don't think we're going to need any flags
for
this.
Well, let's see.
Here we go. Handsome Hank, you start us off here.
With this game.
That's the game we're starting off with.
Why did we put it? We don't need this one on the list.
We're all agreeing.
Whoever made the list is an idiot.
They have no chance. The Detroit Lions have 0 chance against the Eagles?
No, they have a chance.
They have a chance. Sunday, teams line up against each other, Dave.
Let's play the
Eagles.
Who do you have?
the Eagles money.
You want to throw the flag?
Well,
come on, then. Do it.
But okay, I want to say on Wednesday, the Eagles took all of practice off because they're so beaten up.
Well, either you could put it that way, or they could say, well, we're playing the Lions this weekend. Who cares?
Now that,
maybe we just don't need it.
I would love if that's Carson Wentz got in front of a microphone like, boy, the injuries are that bad, Carson. Nah. Just the Lions.
Yeah, like, the Lions.
Gotta get your rest where you can get it.
I had some laundry to do.
I tried to get into your bathroom, but there was some
right.
New York
there's
guy.
Some guy in there in the dark.
I don't know what was going on, but all right, so we'll move on. We're gonna all go with the Eagles here.
Yes.
They remain. I mean, when we talk about, I said earlier, the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC. I think you'd be hard pressed to find many people who say the Eagles are not going to be in the mix by the end of it. And I thought that they looked pretty. Imagine how bad a loss would that have been for the Falcons. Ruminate on that for too long because they survived that game. But if they would have lost to the Eagles as constituted, as banged up as Philly was down there and blown that lead, oof.
And when it's all said and done, now that Minka has found his way to Pittsburgh, Jalen Ramsey's going to be an Eagle. I mean, we all know that, right? That's the way this story ends.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean,
I thought it was Dallas.
No. Nah, this has got Eagles written all over
it. It definitely does.
Not KC. Their public pronouncements are not interested in giving up 2-1s.
I'd say Eagles. They tried to get Tunsil. They were in on Minka, and now I gotta believe they're like, all right, we missed out on those two. Let's make sure.
Whether they'll give up 2-1s is a different matter.
Yeah. But.
Disgruntled high pedigree guy. What do we always say? Who are the 70s Raiders of the 21st century? The New England Patriots. Mm. That the problem for them is they just haven't
got
need
anyone. Yeah, no.
Well, how many high-end DBs do they need at this point? All right, here's probably the dandy of Week 3 here, a rematch of a great game we saw last December where Lamar and company almost knocked off Mahomes in Arrowhead. That one went to overtime, and if I'm not mistaken, that was the debut of the no-look pass, if memory serves.
I just remember that Tyreek Hill play where they had him dead to rights and bang, just the cheetah in that speed. It's like, yeah, that's it. That's the game. You play it perfectly for 3 quarters and 10 minutes and bang.
Yeah, right. And the other thing that I think was debuted were those nice purple pants that the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Big upgrade for them. All right, Matt Money Smith, let's get to it. It's the Baltimore Ravens. 2-0, not undefeated, but they're 2-0, and the Chiefs have the same record. Ravens, Chiefs, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Choose.
Ravens.
Oh! Really thinking about
I was
that one.
If you hadn't done that, I'd have done it. But because you did it, I decided to throw a flag.
All right, handsome, you threw the flag. Why?
Because my argument for the Ravens winning the game would have been.
Excuse me, that's my argument.
Well, but
your argument's why the Chiefs win. I get to do the Ravens.
But what I'm
going to
say is that I had an argument in my head for why the Ravens would win, but I didn't believe it as thoroughly as I believe my argument for why the Chiefs would win. So I think the Ravens could win. By really emphasizing the running game, by really keeping the ball out of Mahomes' hands, because as good as their defense is, you know Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to score points against that team. I just can't buy that they're going to be able to, A, keep it out of his hands for long enough, and B, their defense be able to stop him often enough for them not to score more points than them. Hence the Chiefs.
All right, Money, why don't you defend your Ravens pick?
Well, no Tyreek Hill, and that's this will be the game where you see what changes when there is not Tyreek Hill on the field against a solid defense that played it perfectly last year. Granted, they lost some pieces, so I think you will see how much different that team is going to look without the threat, because that it's like Steph Curry on the Warriors. It just it changes everything when you have to figure out what to do with Hill. Two, they have not shown they can run the ball so far this year, and they're beat up. You know, Damian Williams beat up, LeSean McCoy is beat up. I know that Darwin had a nice preseason against threes and fours, but that's not
different.
Kareem Hunt. Yep. That's not what mowed through the league last year. Their offensive line is beat up. It looks like that defensive line still kind of trying to get things figured out, and I think much like Tyreek Hill is, that's Lamar Jackson right now. Like, you know, he still can't throw outside the numbers, but it doesn't matter. Because you're so terrified of him breaking loose that middle of the field is wide open still. And until someone slows it down, I'm going to ride it.
If this one's nip and tuck, I wonder how we'll emerge from it. But if one team smokes the other, again, it'll still be early in the season and time to round into shape in time for January either way. But I do think, yeah, I think that they can just bang them, that the Ravens can come in there and just steamroll them. And I don't know that the Chiefs are going to have an answer for that. And they might feel exposed after that game, that'll be the recipe to take down the Chiefs. And then conversely, Mahomes is starting to feel like, and I've been, the cynics who are out there, the curmudgeons who, I have to wait and see what this guy's going to do. I get that, but Mahomes now, what is it, 20 starts into the league? I'm starting to become such a believer that he can cover up anything.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
There are properly four or five human beings that can do that at quarterback. You can have bums all over the place. I'm starting to think Mahomes might be able to get away with that with some of the throws.
Sure.
He's pulled off lately. They're in here.
I just think it's more it's Tyreek Hill. I don't think people recognize how important that guy is. To what they want to do, what Andy Reid wants to do, how much is cued off of that one player for that offense to work. And look, the guy's brilliant. You know, he's done it so many times with so many different players. To me, this is the week where you're like, ooh, so that's what happens when Tyreek's not out there.
I think
could be.
You know what? Can I no jive? The no jive policy exists here in my home as well as in Studio 66, and I think money's turned me around. I think the Ravens are going
to. Well, he poured the foundation. He was supposed to make a case for the Chiefs, and he's like, "Here's why I would have taken the Ravens."
But the magic that you said about Mahomes just now is the X factor for me that makes me not be able to.
Has it supplanted the magic of Aaron Rodgers, where we would just take the Packers and we would just say, "Well, I just
we haven't
Aaron
seen
Rodgers
the magic at this
we
point."
Haven't seen the magic
now Mahomes has become that guy. We're like, Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Well, then again, he could be returned to Earth by the hand of the purple pants visitors on Sunday.
I saw you wearing those at yoga this morning, Dave.
Is that right?
Your purple.
Don't tell my personal details.
Just that's when I came into your home, that's what you were wearing.
Studio's in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were late for jazzercise class. And Dino and I did notice it.
Right.
Is that right?
I'll be there on time tomorrow.
Now let's go to the Giants and the Bucks.
What?
And it's fascinating. You don't want to pick that game?
Is that really on there? Oh my gosh, it is. Why would you?
Because it's Daniel Jones, and the Bucks are coming off a pretty nice victory there on Thursday Night Football.
I mean, they won.
Yeah.
They won. They won the game.
On the road? That was nice. Jameis Winston.
It was one of...
Well, it's your turn.
He chose. I think that Jameis Winston was really confronting an existential career crisis.
In that game.
He looked bad again, and coming off of week one against San Francisco, how many more turns is he going to get? I don't know that Bruce Arians has his successor sitting there behind him, but I think that the book would get closed on Jameis Winston as a long-term option for the Buccaneers and maybe for any NFL team as a starting QB. And then all of a sudden, he flipped the switch and made some really nice throws against a good defense and won the game. I mean, I didn't say he's heading to the Hall of Fame, but... That was a nice little positive moment. Maybe Bruce Arians, who's turned the Colts around and turned the Cardinals around. Why so cynical, Hanson?
Two things. First of all, I don't know if Bruce has the stomach for a complete rebuild in Tampa. That's an aside. I watched that game cover to cover, and I've got to say that's the worst offensive game of football I've seen in many years. The Panthers-Bucks game was as bad as it gets.
But like I say, Jameis did make some nice throws. All right. Now,
you choose, Dave.
I will pick it. All right, here we go. Giants with Daniel Jones at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Self, choose the New York Giants. Oh, money. You're playing possum this whole time.
Come on.
Taking the Buccaneers?
You're taking Daniel Jones in his first start?
I buy the short-term spark. Unless
I like
the guy's
the spark.
A bum.
Exactly.
I think that does matter.
Nah, I think Todd Bowles, experienced defensive coordinator, he's going to throw every five-man front. Take a guess who's coming, DJ, because you don't know. And that's just, it's tough. I think it's a tough matchup. They're not very talented on defense. At the same time, I just think that's asking an awful lot on the road against experienced coaches and coordinators that are pretty darn good at what they do, and Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians. I think there's enough there that it's just, that's a lot.
Couldn't they lean on that running back they have instead?
They could. And the offensive line's been okay. That's for sure. The defense is terrible. So
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. So,
well, and they do have a decent run game there, it would appear, right, in Tampa, at least based on how they looked, yeah, against Carolina. I think, though, that where we started in summertime talking about the Giants is, yeah, the defense is junk, and that's clear. But the other side is, first of all, yeah, obviously a veteran, savvy defensive coordinator has the advantage over a rookie QB, but also we don't know what Daniel Jones is going to look like in the NFL, so that's a little bit of a curveball. Todd Bowles has nothing to work off of what Daniel Jones' tendencies are going to be. And you have the best running back in the game, and Evan Ingram, as we foretold, is splashing early on. I think they can make some hay against a mediocre to poor NFL.
Yeah, it feels
team.
Like a sort of 17-13 type of game.
That much I agree with.
Neither team is good.
That's neither team going to the playoffs.
Right.
We've just spent 6 minutes talking about that.
Too much.
You didn't
turns out, whichever guy put this on here is a genius.
Nicely done there, Eddie Spaghetti. Now let's turn to what's going to be
still
happening.
Still can't find the light, though.
Up in San Francisco, nay, Santa Clara. I see the camera moving to pick him up in the dark over there. There he is. Not looking good.
I feel like we should have a club.
Eddie, I think it's on the left of the door. I think it's on the left of the door.
Is this better?
Just
there we go. Touch around on the wall. Hey, you come here often? I came on. I heard Oakenfold was going to be spinning, but it's hot Carl Cox. I like these beats. You
wrap
in the Miami
this
base?
Up. I got to meet Ronnie at Shrimp Fest. Let's go. All
right. Can't you just see Eddie like leaning against the wall in a club? Like everyone's dancing and he's just judging everybody, looking around like, hey.
I don't dance.
I don't do clubs. Vegas was two weeks ago.
I don't do clubs.
I'm not going to get out there and look like a fool dancing around.
Listen, the only reason I'm here is because my friends came. And I don't want to be a party pooper, all right? But I'm not dancing. I'm just going to lean against the wall and drink this beer.
That's very accurate.
All right, here we go. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Whose turn is it? Handsome Hank.
I think
you
it might
get
be
the
mine.
Honors here. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers with Mason Rudolph under center.
Yep.
At the 2-0 San Francisco
49ers. Does he know how to play under center?
I hope he will.
Because Ben really didn't a whole lot.
You know what? Well, we'll get into that as we dissect this one a little bit.
You said under center. Kind of piqued my
Steelers,
interest.
Steelers, Niners, a handsome QB matchup.
Well,
huh?
Handsome QBs and just a great look. You don't get this uniform matchup often enough.
It's a good one.
It's going to look nice.
There have been some wonky results when these two teams play each other over the years as well. 15-1 San Francisco 49ers of what year was that? 1984, the only team to vanquish them. Mark Malone's Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe
that?
Mason Rudolph can repeat that feat. Here we go, handsome. Steelers, Niners, choose.
I'm going to pick the home team 49ers.
Money?
Thinking.
Go ahead. Have some fun. Live.
Thinking, are the Steelers an 0-3 team?
You owe it to Mason Rudolph after you disparaged him.
I took the Seahawks last week, though, and it paid off for me in the Red Challenge flag picks.
You did, right.
Nick Bosa. Nah, I'm going to take the Niners.
Dave?
All three of us.
How are they going to get to that record of yours?
Well, first of all, that one's off. That I said 10-6 for the Steelers, the quarterback.
Oh, I see. You get another.
This is another mulligan here.
Really?
Yeah. Last year doesn't count, neither.
And this year doesn't count either.
Listen.
Because it didn't go your way.
I told you that the Niners were going to be good this year. Garoppolo's look good.
Last week was fantastic.
Yeah. Do not worry about what you see in August. Oh, he threw interceptions in practice. Yeah, it's practice. Who cares?
That's what practice is for.
To invoke Allen Iverson's famous line.
A little under center play action touchdown.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The one thing that they do, and obviously anyone would be foolish.
Look at that. That's nice.
Anyone would be foolish to make a case that this offense will be better without Roethlisberger. But Roethlisberger has been for the last couple of years the offensive coordinator, and he's inclined to play hero a little bit, and he does not run a lot of stuff. He doesn't run a lot of play action. They are going to lean on that with Mason Rudolph. It had early success against the Seahawks last week. Something we've talked about for a year now is the Rams and Patriots used a ton of play action in 2018. You see a lot of teams now mimicking that. I think the Steelers are going to try and lean on that. And again, where we started, now especially with Minka Fitzpatrick, maybe a little unfair to him to have to now run out there and start 5 days after the plane lands in Pittsburgh. But he's going to jump on another plane and fly to San Francisco. But he's going to be starting. But it's time for the defense to rise up. The pieces are there. It's time for Tomlin and Keith Butler to put it together and save the season, because there is cause for some optimism right now that maybe they could turn it around. And I can make a case that should they survive San Francisco, they could be playing the Ravens, who would be 3-1 coming into Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and be playing for first place. It's that quick that the turnaround could happen, but not if they fall up in San Francisco.
Nope. You know, the more I think about it, I forgot about Joe Staley, so he's down.
Right.
So now you got that defensive line and those rush ends, those linebackers that are going after a backup left tackle. That's the Shanahan model. It's a lot of play action. It's a lot of, you know, seven step plant throw. So I do. Minka's a great player. It's gonna be close. That's gonna be a close game.
I think it'd be a good game.
Think about it. Who knows? I mean, really, can Mason Rudolph deal with that? You know, first start. That's a good front, man, with Buckner and now Nick Bosa, who has been just destroying offensive lines in his first two games.
Intimidating environment, too, for the kid to walk into.
It leaves you wanting.
Santa Clara.
Leaves you wanting a little bit. It is my least favorite, save the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, which needs to be torn down. But it's my least favorite venue in all of the NFL.
Well,
terrible venue.
A thing I say all the time is Tomlin's virtue is being able to create short-term rally with his team. I think that you will at least see the Steelers come out there and play like their season's on the line.
Right.
I think they will at least.
Wow, we all took the Niners. How about that?
Yeah. Listen, they're 2-0. See, now we're the ones who got seduced by an early season hot start. All right. Texans, Chargers, money. We know he's going to choose the Chargers, but we're going to let him say it anyway. Texans, Chargers.
Chargers.
Oh,
sorry, Dave. I think I broke one of your ornaments.
I'm not going against the Chargers.
You almost knocked over the plant there.
Yeah, well, I think I broke an ornament back there.
For what it's worth, if you buy the support of fans alive in the stands, I bet the Texans are one of the worst, have one of the worst visitor turnouts in Carson, California.
So far, what have we had? I think so far the worst turnout has been the Bengals. I believe, the fewest fans in the stands. Typically, it's 50-50, if not more, toward the visiting folks. I would assume the Steelers, although maybe the Chargers catch a break and the Steelers are 0-5 at
if
that
the
point.
If the Steelers are in bad shape, the turnout
they'll still show
will
up.
Be depressed.
Fans are still
they'll still show
up, aren't they?
I mean, when's the last time all the Steelers fans out here got to go see them play in L.A.? What's it been?
I feel like this is directed at me, and if you think I'm going to drag my my boy Jean-Claude Van Damischek, his first Steelers game, is going to be a stinker. I probably
you can't
will.
Take
come
him.
On, let's do it.
Get
said
him a
we
brand
would
new
go.
Bosa 97 jersey.
I don't like
a Keenan Allen 13 best route runner in the game.
You can get one of those. You can get one of those really nice throwback Chargers caps.
I believe
as well.
They're wearing the powder blues in that game
too.
By the way,
a Sunday night special. That's down the line.
Who knows? Maybe it won't be a Sunday night special.
Why are you going with the Texans in this one? Not that it's crazy.
I find the Texans to be irresistible at the moment. Everything about that offense is exciting to watch. They seem to have overcome the fact that their offensive line, even with Laramie Tunsil, is not particularly good. They find ways to put up points. They've got three great receivers.
I think you might have missed the game last week against the Jags.
That was the pitch for Jalen Ramsey's worth two firsts. The fact that he was able to shut down DeAndre Hopkins, no one else has ever been able to, and he did it.
But there are two other guys who can also make help Deshaun Watson move the ball there as well. I think I like the Texans going into LA and being able to get a win.
Well, long term, as long as the season doesn't get sideways on them, if they do wind up 1-2, and as long as they can stay relevant into October, I think that offense is going to emerge as maybe the best in the AFC when it's all done. But in the meantime, like you say, even with Tunsil, the offensive line isn't isn't dominating, that's a bad matchup going into Carson, California, to see the defensive front that the Chargers are going
to
bring out.
But the Chargers, I mean, but that defensive front, as good as it is on paper, doesn't seem to have, didn't seem to be able to do it against the Lions last week.
Oh, no, they did.
From what I saw.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they shut down the run, and that's what the Lions were committed to. Right. They had one, I'll say this, though, like the major issue is going to come down to who is on Hopkins. I mean, they are down, not their, you know, Casey Hayward's one cornerback. The other side of the field, they're on their third guy on the depth chart. So they finally had to start traveling Casey with Golladay just because, you know, that it wasn't happening. They were picking on Brandon Faison too much. And if they can figure out a way to do that, and if Will Fuller is healthy and, you know, Kenny Stills, who's shown to be, you know, pretty darn good in this offense, that could be a long day. I mean, Deshaun can extend plays with his feet. The one thing about Watson, though, is he'll hold the ball a beat too long,
yep.
You know, and that's where, you know, you can create turnovers.
Well, the beat is also, it's a beat too long, and it's a beat shorter than it would normally be because of the line.
So once the Lions weren't able to run the ball, what happened? Matt Stafford threw two interceptions. So, you know, I think the front showed how dominant they can be out there. The offensive line's been a lot better than I think we had thought it was going to be for the Chargers. You know, when Russell Okung, who's been down with his pulmonary embolism, was going to be out for what looks to be, you know, maybe the season, who knows, until he gets the green light. Sam Tevy's turned into a fantastic right tackle. I mean, like, legitimately one of the best right tackles in the league, specifically run blocking. And you'll see that's the edge that Jackson and Eckler are going to. And they're ripping off 7-8 yards a carry. But that left side, man, that is a major concern with J.J. Watt over there, or Merciless, however, or both of them on the same side.
Right.
And that could be a big issue for the Chargers on Sunday.
Quickly, before we wrap things up here, I hope that you have the access, and I love Melvin Gordon. He's a delightful fella. I would like you to videotape, though, the discussion when he goes to the Chargers to talk about what week he's going to come back, because he inevitably does have to come back unless he wants to blow going into free agency this offseason. So when he announces, hey, great news, I'm back, like, you know, take your time, Melvin. You don't have to rush.
Been pretty good. I mean, the fumble notwithstanding, and that was a brutal fumble. I mean, you know, one of the pivotal plays that helped cost them the game. But, man, he is a great running back.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways about it. He is strong. He's fearless between the tackles. Has great vision. I don't know. Lev Bell, Saquon, Zeke, maybe are the only other guys I can think of in the league that can make that catch that he made on that sideline throw. I mean, that was a wide receiver catch. And adjusting to the ball, having a tight window, focus on, you know, with a cornerback in coverage, that sideline throw that he caught to extend a drive on third down was something. He's a really good player. But remember, he's also a smaller guy. So that's where you wonder, come week 5, 6, is it still the same Austin Eckler?
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a good job.
Well,
you know,
then that would be the perfect
time.
That would
be the great time for him to come back.
So.
Exactly.
Melvin Gordon to play savior there. And Handsome, last
yes.
pick.
Last
where
pick.
Did the where did the Rams first start playing pro football?
Ooh, good one.
Where did the Rams first start playing pro football?
Good one.
In Cleveland, Dave.
It was in Cleveland. That's absolutely right. They're paying a visit to their original home.
Back home,
Cleveland,
huh?
Ohio, to play the team that is there now, but then left
that wasn't
there.
There.
And
but
then
now
left
came
there,
back.
But then a new organization was like, we're now the Browns. But it was like, well, the Browns moved to Baltimore,
right.
Didn't they? But anyhow, it's the Rams.
Yes.
It's the Browns. Choose.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
It is. It actually is a tough one.
I'm going to choose the Browns. Thanks.
Yeah. Money, explain yourself. Why are you going
to Aaron Donald.
Take-
It's a nightmare for Baker Mayfield. That pressure straight up the middle is exactly what he struggles with.
Right.
And that, to me, is the difference in this game. Now, the reason why it's tough is because look what happened to Jared Goff last year when Khalil Mack was heating him up on the edge. And I'm not sold on that offensive line. They got issues on the inside. Yep. And anywhere that there isn't someone named Andrew Whitworth, the Rams have issues on the offensive line. And we know Jared Goff does not do well in a dirty pocket and when he's under pressure. That's why it's a tough one.
And that is going to happen.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett's proved that
exactly.
He's
gonna... So, but I think we're going to see another bad Baker game where you could see a 2-3 interception game here. And that's the difference.
Well, we know Marcus Peters can get smoked on occasion, and
sure.
That's a bad matchup for him. But ultimately, it's a coach's league, as we say, and I'll take Wade matching wits with Freddie Kitchens over 60 minutes.
You sure?
You sure about that, Dave?
I'm gonna stand by that one. You're not gonna talk me out of that one. And Sean McVay, for that matter, should be able to take care of business against Cleveland, who splashy Myles Garrett looked like what we had forecasted, like most people forecasted for him coming into this year. But I do ultimately, I'll lean on the coaching staff of the Rams as the reason for victory. All right, anything else, fellas? How long do we go here, Spaghetti?
Want to make a guess?
How long have you been in the bathroom?
I feel like we went longer than I anticipated us going.
I would agree with that.
I would agree.
We have gone 1 hour. I'm going to try to do it right here. I'm going to say that we went
Let's all have a guess.
9 minutes.
1 hour and 3 minutes and 27 seconds.
Money has a watch on. It's 108, right?
It's close. Money
107.
Yeah. Because I guess I started my stopwatch late because I'm at 105. So, yeah. But it's the show is
at 11 a.m.
It's literally a live time show. So
good for you, Odell. You got the time right. Have a great time this weekend hosting the Texans.
I'm just staying here, Dave.
Oh, you're going to hang
out? Yeah, I'm going to hang out at your place.
Cool. You want to order some Chinese?
Yeah, let's
or
watch
what?
The Steelers game.
Oh, I love General Tso's.
Not going to go to Dallas? Watch the Dolphins?
I'm going to get some Zaxby's, actually.
Ooh, a salad.
All right. I was thinking Shrimp Fest, but I think you just had a better idea. All right. We'll kibitz with you later on. Remember the two audio podcasts, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. There you'll find the DDFP and also our weekly video podcast. We appreciate you watching and or listening. Until next time. Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.